right, Matchroom Radio with David Diamante. We are back. I see you digging the theme song there.
It's almost like a hot boxing intro a little bit, but Mike Tyson is smooth. I like it.
No, this is original. Okay. I don't know. You know what? To be honest, I don't know that intro.
It's similar. Listen to it.
I'll check it out.
It's a little more hype. This is like smooth.
I don't know where Scott got that intro. I kind of like it, though.
It's nice. I'm digging it.
It's all right. I've seen, like, clips of hot boxing. I never watched the whole thing. I got to check it out.
Got to see the one with Sugar Ray, Tommy Hearns.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny.
Oh, my God. It must be.
They start going back and forth a little bit.
It must be.
It's hilarious.
But Sugar Ray, he's the man. They're all the man. I mean, Tommy Hearns was the man, too. But Sugar Ray, that's my guy. Always. So listen, everybody. Live free or die. Today we are in New Hampshire, United States of America, the Granite State. And we're here in Manchester, not England, but Manchester, New Hampshire. And we have a wonderful guest. We have the WBA and IBO super lightweight champion of the world, Kaylee K.O. McQuinnenog Reese.
Yes, thank you. I'm finally on the podcast with David Diamante.
I know. It's great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
It's so funny because I see you so many weeks, but you're not. You haven't been fighting.
No.
Because you're now... You're married to Brian Cohen. You're engaged to Brian Cohen, right?
Yes, yeah.
And Brian is a manager for fighters.
Yes.
And you're with Brian all the time. And you train fighters too, right?
I help Brian train Ebony Bridges. And he's also my head trainer now. So we're together in everything and everything we do. But I wouldn't have it any other way, though.
Yeah, of course. And so I feel like I see you all the time. In fact, like, there's been several times where you've helped me braid my hair before a show.
It was an honor, man. I mean, it's kind of cool that I've been at these shows kind of on the other side for so many times. I know how it operates now, so it's really relaxed to me. But I'm excited that I'm fighting finally.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's always great to see you, and we've known each other for a lot of years, through the DeGuardia years and now the DeBella years, and. All kinds of different fights and different stuff. And you're a two-division world champion.
Yes.
You held the WBC middleweight, obviously, and now you have the 140 title. And it's the road to the undisputed. So really quick, just why we're here this weekend, why you're here this weekend. So we've got this great show with Demetrius Andrade and Quigley. And we've got Ahmed Aliyev, and we've got Julio Cesar Martinez. And, of course, we have you and Kamara. And it's the road to undisputed, so it's this great tournament to find out who is the best at 140 pounds in the female division. What did you think about the McGee-Cameron fight?
That fight was amazing. I mean, it lived up to the hype. I mean, how the fight went, I kind of predicted, my heart said I really want, it was gunning for Mary to win, but my boxing brain knew that Cameron would pull it off. I mean, she pulled off a really great performance. So did Mary. I mean, to headline a show that almost got, like, decimated because of the heavyweight fight falling out and then to headline it to a road to undisputed, it was a great fight.
Yeah, the Dillian White Otto Wallen fight fell through, and we still went on and they headlined it at the O2,
and they lived up to it. I mean, it was a great headline.
It's a proper scrap.
It was.
Do you think Chantel Cameron is the favorite, or do you think you're the favorite?
I think I've gained a lot of British fans throughout the years. I mean, I'm 13 years plus in the pro game, and I've traveled everywhere around the world to fight. And the UK is one place I haven't fought and haven't even been to until this year. But the fans I've gained throughout my boxing, because UK fans are just diehard real boxing fans, and I absolutely love it. I've had a lot of fans, but I don't know. I think this is a fight that both US and British fans has wanted since we even got this whole Road to Undisputed tournament. So I don't know. I don't care.
You just want to fight.
I just want to fight.
Well, before all that, you've got to fight this weekend against Kamara. What do you know about Jess?
I actually commentated her last two fights, and I've known Jess for quite some time now. She's also one of Brian Cohen's many fighters as well. I consider her a friend. I respect her as a fighter, a person, but, you know, it's her business. I have a statement to make. I think she's grown as a fighter. She has composure of a veteran. She's only been pro for a little over 4 years, but she shows composure. I mean, that fight with St. Ville, she had that giant hematoma on her head in the beginning or the end of the first round going into a 10-round fight.
Melissa, she's a Brooklyn girl.
Yeah, anyway.
Whoa.
Anyway, and she held it together, you know what I mean? So, and she got better, and then she fought Heather Hardy, which only other loss was against
another
one of the
Brooklyn
greats.
Girl, yeah.
Heather's cool, man. Heather's cool. I like Heather. When she fought Amanda Serrano, that's the only other loss, and she made adjustments, listened to her corner, and she's getting better, you know what I mean? I think she's going to be a great fight. I know she's going to bring it. She's going to bring her A game. She's going to, try to adjust and everything. I just think the experience wise, the size wise, fighting on a larger stage wise, I know I got the upper hand. But this is boxing. You know what I mean? I don't take her lightly. Not looking through her or past her. I know I got a job to do on Friday, but I'm ready to do it.
Yeah, I think we're all really looking forward to this fight. And, you know, to have undisputed champions in boxing is, I think, something that will bring a lot more shine to the sport. It's something that all the fans want. You know, they want to know who is the best. Who is the best? Speaking of the best, you fought Cecilia Brækhus for the welterweight championship. Can you tell me about that experience and what it was like facing her?
It was a crazy experience. It was an experience I needed, though. You know, when I first got in the pro scene, she was one of the top people that were doing it, even from the beginning of her career. So naturally, I want to be great. I want to, you know, idolize kind of the people who are making the moves, even not even skill wise, just business moves. Who's her promoter? Who's her manager? How often she fights? How good she is? And I, you know, remember watching her saying, "Wow, she's really good. I want to fight her one day." And to actually finally get there and finally have backing behind me as far as training, as far as actual camp. That was the first time I ever had a quote-unquote training camp for a couple of months. And that fight, it was one of those losses that was such a win for me. I realized, like I say, I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, you belonged.
I belonged there. Yeah. You know, fighting for a lot throughout my entire life, especially through my boxing career, just clawing and scratching my way up the ranks without a promoter, guidance, manager, sometimes no trainer, kind of, hey, anybody want to go with me to this fight kind of, you know, career. Not really believing I was as good as I am and I could be better. It made me realize I was supposed to be amongst the top elite fighters and I can win. You know, I wasn't just, oh, happy to be here, guys. You know, I'm just going to fight here. It was actually, I'm really supposed to be doing this. You know what I mean? So I remember going into the fifth round, I was, you know, kind of late start, you know, HBO, Cecilia Brækhus, huge fight. I kind of had to get woken up, and Brian Cohen wasn't even my chief second, but he jumped in the ring, and I remember he said, okay, wake up, you're supposed to be here, man, just let's go. And he gave me some instructions, and from the fifth round on, it changed, and I realized that, you know, I respect the fighters, but inside the ring, you know, you got to gain respect. So I believe I gained her respect. And I, a lot of boxing people that kind of forgot about Kaylee Reese remembered and was like, oh, okay, this girl's here. So it was a good experience for me.
Speaking of trainers, because you're from Providence, Rhode Island.
Yes.
Originally. And you trained with Peter Manfredo, right?
I did. That was one of my first trainers. Yep.
That's my guy, man. We've had a lot of fun with Peter, man. Interesting. What? Tell me about those years.
I think he has the record for getting kicked out of most corners, honestly. He's amazing. He's your typical Italian Rhode Island Providence guy, man. I walked into his gym.
Federal Hill, baby. Federal Hill.
I was maybe 14, 15 when I first walked into his gym. I had first previously gotten trained by Domingo Tall Dog. He's actually, he's Narragansett, and he, you know, showed me the ropes. But I actually walked into his gym with my dad when I was about 14 or 15, and he's a good trainer, man. I mean, he's kind of calmed down with the pros, but I love him, man. He's like another father figure to me, and he's always supported me. You know what I mean? He's crazy.
Absolutely. No, anytime I'm in Providence, man, I hit up Peter. We smoke cigars.
Oh yeah,
and we hang out. He's a hoot, man.
And I love his son, Junior. Oh, man.
He's great.
He used to pick me up from high school to go to the gym, and that's when he was on the Contender. So I used to, oh, you know, Peter Manfredo, Junior? I was like, yeah, man. He'd pick me up, go to Mr. Lemon in Providence, man. Yes. I love them.
They're great guys. They're great guys. Yeah. Does he still train Shelly Vincent? Is she still boxing?
She is. She actually has a comeback fight the week after my fight. And as far as I know, she's still going to his gym. She is actually training a little bit with Matt Godfrey, too. But you know, that's like her real dad. Like they fight
for real
all the time. Like he kicked her out of her gym 20 times. Like, but he still trains her.
Yeah. She's amazing, man. I love her spirit, you know.
She's my little brother sister. I love her to death.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Who's the woman that she always has on her shirt? Like, remember, is that her mom?
That's her mom. Yeah.
That's her mom.
Yep.
Did her mom must have passed?
Her mom passed away from leukemia when she was 18. Terrible. So yeah, she's going through a lot. She's grown too as a person. Yeah. I love her to death. Another like family. So she when I came back to boxing after my accident and that issue I had with that Providence police officer, she actually got me off the res and got me training again. So if I had, she hadn't come pick me up, who knows if I'd be sitting here right now.
So when you talk about the accident, you had a motorcycle accident.
I had a motorcycle accident, yes.
What happened?
So in 2012, on my birthday, I was riding my motorcycle. I was about 5 minutes away from my house.
What kind of bike?
I had a Kawasaki 600, Ninja 600.
Okay.
CX-6, yep.
Okay.
I had actually just graduated motorcycle mechanic school. I rebuilt the engine, everything. I had the thing running for about a month. On my birthday, about 5 minutes away from my house, I got hit by a car. And bike was totaled. My knee was in shambles. I couldn't walk for about a month. I was in a knee brace. Got told that, you know, you shouldn't probably box again. You're going to have knee surgery and all this other crap. So about 2 months after that, I was working security at a nightclub, and my first night back, knee brace, light duty. I ended up getting assaulted by a Providence police officer for no reason, re-injured my knee, and at that point, I was out.
This happened at the club?
This happened at the club.
While you were working security?
While I was working security.
What?
Yeah.
Where was the rest of your team?
It was at the end of the night. There was an altercation with some patrons, and it was like the end of the night. We got them all out. Another colleague of mine had gotten really injured, and I was making sure she was okay. And this really just not nice cop that kind of was known now after we found it was known to kind of just, you know, abuse his authority, came in and just like went after me for no reason. And he beat me up, pepper sprayed me point blank range, handcuffed me, and then proceeded to pepper spray me again, call me all kind of derogatory names, hitting me, dragging me out, threw me in the paddy wagon for no reason. And then told me I had to apologize to him. So he ended up having to get fired, and it was a huge case in Providence. And this was just after that, I moved away from Providence. I moved to Connecticut in the Mashantucket Pequot Res, and it was one of the most darkest times in my life. Literally had to crawl myself out of like a fire pit in like a. I used to drink like a Jack bottle of Jack and like a 6-pack of Bud every day. I was full fledged alcoholic, didn't have boxing as my outlet anymore. And then one day it clicked that I'm supposed to be doing something better.
So, what was the click? And speaking of clicking, what happened with your knee? How is it now?
It's good.
What was the actual injury? And
so I tore my meniscus and some other ligaments around those little sweet little stupid little ligaments around
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
It was something that they suggested you needed surgery for. I didn't get any surgery. Like I said, one day, not even figuratively, I woke up, you know, I was in my fire pit in my backyard. I had an empty bottle of Jack like this. And I woke up with the sun, and it was like a autumn day. And I'm just like, yo, this is not what's supposed to be happening. And I like, you know, had like an episode in the backyard. And from there, I just decided to start walking. And then from walking, I would start going to the pool. I was literally starting from scratch. And then the summer of 2013, that's when Shelly was in her prime. And
right.
She was, you know, really busy. And she's like, yo, I'm coming to get you, son. I'm like, nah, man, you know, I'm coming to pick you up, son. I was like,
that's totally Shelly, too. That's how she talks.
So she pulled up in her little two-door BMW, beating her music. And I threw my trash bag of clothes in my backpack. And she got me off the resin. I stayed on who was our manager at the time, Mary Delpino, a really good friend of mine. She was managing Shelly at the time. I stayed on their couch with her three kids in the house and Shelly. And then I got a call for the first fight. It was against Tori Nelson, my first ever title fight. I lost that fight, but I came back. You know what I mean? I was doing something that, oh, she's not going to box anymore. You shouldn't. But I got told I shouldn't box anymore.
Right.
My knee, this and that and everything. And then fast forward to when I won the IBA title against Teresa Perosi, everything kind of just changed from there. And then fast forward to Cecilia Breckus. Just been clawing and scratching my way through this boxing thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about like these women like Cecilia that have done all this amazing stuff in the sport. Let me ask about Katie Taylor, because she trains in New England.
Yeah.
And obviously you're up there. Do you know her? Have you sparred with her? Are you friends with her? Do you see her?
She's one of my regular sparring partners.
Okay,
when I'm in
I figure, but
Rhode
I
Island. You know what's funny? I started sparring her before her pro debut. We got wind that she was in Connecticut and she was looking for sparring. And, you know, a couple of girls from New England went up there, got their asses handed to them, and then came back.
Right.
Didn't want to go up.
Right.
I got a call. Matt Godfrey got a call from Ross because he used to train with Ross.
Sure, Enamite.
And he asked me, "Yeah, you want to get?" I was like, "Hell yeah!" This was before I had to go defend my WBC against Christina Hammer. I needed some kind of work.
Of course, I wasn't getting any sparring.
I was like, "Hell yeah, dude!" I jump at the opportunity to learn and get my ass kicked by somebody really good and with the names and the likes of Katie Taylor. When I first got in there, I was like, "Oh, this is how we're fighting now. Oh, I gotta step my game up." It was amazing. But the next day, I was like, "Yo, can we go back there?" Like a few times. I don't want to go back. I'm like, "No, I want to go back. She's amazing, yo."
Yeah.
From there, every time she's in camp, as long as I'm available, even if we're both out of shape, we're like, "Dude, let's get like 8 good rounds." You know what I mean? And it's been amazing to see her grow, and to get that quality sparring. We know each other, and it's really good for me. It's good for her. I get sparring all the time with her.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Looks like the Serrano fight might actually happen.
I hope it does.
I mean,
they both want that fight.
Come on. And also, like, the Clarissa Shields, Savannah Marshall, dying
that's
to see
lot
that fight.
Of really good fights.
And
man.
Now, okay, so last week, I assume you saw Baumgartner Harper.
Oh, yes.
What
yes.
a fight. What
so
a fight.
That made my heart just.
What a fight.
Happy.
And then now, because Michaela Meyer and Alicia Baumgartner, they've been jawing at each other for a long time, they've been wanting that fight. And now it's like a super fight. To me, that fight is on the level of those other fights.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's a huge fight. After the Hamadouche fight, this is a huge buildup now. This fight is just, it's the prime time. And I told Alicia, she was on the podcast last week, we were talking, and I told her, like, if you win this, like, this is her Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, this is a big deal. Because you know what it is. To get a world title shot does not come that often. Sometimes it never comes. And then also just to have these fights brewing like this, it's the perfect time.
I was so excited for her when she got the opportunity because, again, somebody I sparred. I've been in there with, like, everybody. So I've met her a few years back when I was helping Ivana Habazin. I was in her camp
right.
before she fought Clarissa. And I was up there in Detroit. So, of course, can I get some rounds? Absolutely.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I just knew her grind and her work ethic and her skill. And then just people don't really look at the corner and the people that you're around and the gym that you train at. That has a lot to do with the
Hang
quality
out with Ali
of
Salam, rest in peace, and
yes.
LJ and Tony.
Yes, man. I met all of them. And just being in there, I was like, yo, this is a dog gym. I love it.
Yo,
you know what I mean?
For real.
She's been grinding so hard. And I knew as soon as she got the opportunity, she was not going to pass it up and she was going to be great. I just couldn't wait. A lot of people didn't know much about Alicia. I did. And I was like, yo, she has a chip on her shoulder because that one loss she had against Christina Lenoir Trudeau. Is really close. I know since it's from there, she was grinding. And
I
she
called
just
that
won.
Fight. That was in Louisville, Kentucky. I remember that night.
Yeah, man.
I remember that night.
It was close, and I know she's had a chip on her shoulder. She's kind of had a chip anyway, like a good chip. You need that chip when she first went in the pros. But since that loss, she's grinded even harder than she usually has. So as soon as she got the opportunity, I was like, yo, they ain't ready. Oh, what you think? I don't know. It's going to be close. I'm like, listen, she's about to knock Terry's head off. No disrespect to Terry, but y'all don't know.
Yeah.
She's skilled, and she's ready. She's been ready for that opportunity. So congratulations. I'm so proud of her and so happy for her.
Yeah, no, she honestly. Did her thing. She did her thing, and now it's very possible we're going to see a big unification fight with Meyer. I would love to see it.
I am a Michaela Meyer fan. I just think the buildup of the shit talk between the two is going to be even better than the fight. Yo, it's going to be insane.
It's going to be insane. There's no doubt. So let's talk about your past just a little bit. So obviously, you started boxing around 12, 13 years old?
About, 12, 13, I started taking the interest. Well, like I said, Domingo Tall Dog, he used to fight. He's, like I said, Narragansett from Rhode Island.
Sure.
And he's a jewelry maker. He actually made this ring. And I used to bug him at his stand at the powwows. I got wind that he used to box. I'm like, Mom, tell him to train me, man. So I used to bug him. He's like, yeah. Blew me off for a couple of years. And then he started coming to my house a couple of times, hung up a bag, and that was kind of the first taste of boxing I got.
But like, how did he even start? Like, what were you like as a little girl? What were you like as a kid? You have a big family, right?
I do. I'm the baby.
And you're
five.
The baby,
yes,
right?
Yes, I'm the baby. I have two brothers and two sisters.
Right,
I mean, I was a little tomboy. My mom wanted a nice, cute little girl with lots of hair and just do ballet. And I was total opposite, though. She did professional ballet dancing for about 18 years. She's a hairdresser, very girly. I came out guns a-blazing, riding motorcycles and wanting to punch people in the face for a living. So
that's hilarious. Do you still ride bikes?
I do. It's in my contract, I think, to not ride bikes.
Right. You're like, actually, I don't.
I don't.
Brian's off camera like, no.
No,
he's not.
I mean, I'm pretty careful. I still, I have a ZX10 now, and after my accident, I just got a bigger bike. So
right.
Why not? I still love it, but not as much as I used to. I don't have time for it anymore anyway. And, growing up, I was just a little tomboy. You know what I mean? I just wanted to do everything my big brothers did. I was close to my sisters, but I love my big brothers are my heroes.
Right.
So, you know, I got into sports really early, softball, basketball, because my brothers were into basketball. My parents got divorced really, really young. It was tough. He was, as a matter of fact, my father was on tour with Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Doing what?
He played the keyboard.
Really?
Good Vibrations, man.
Wow.
Yeah, that was him on the keys.
That's crazy.
So he was, you know, a musician. My mom's a musician. So my brothers are, they sing, they do all that. So
are you musical at all?
Played the violin at age 9. And okay. I don't sing unless, you know, it's I gotta like sing or die. But I love music. I love music, very musically inclined. I just don't sing. That's sure. where I started. So sports, art, my grandmother taught me how to paint. You know, grew up in the culture. My mom was relearning our culture. I say relearning because, you know, we're from that people that were the first contact. So, you know, just trying to put pieces together throughout the years and centuries of getting our people back together. So I was always into something, always artsy, smart academically, but just, you know, class clown, and just wanted to do everything my brothers did.
Absolutely. And for the people out there that are listening that don't know, your ancestry, you're Native American and Cape Verdean, right?
Yes.
So you are Seekonk Wampanoag, and you are Nipmunk and Cherokee, and then Cape Verdean.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Little mutt.
So, and your mom, she was a medicine woman?
She's still the current medicine woman of our tribe, yes.
And, like, tell me more about that.
So our tribe was from the Seekonk people, Seekonk Wampanoag. Wampanoag, Wampanaak, is a nation. So there's about eight or nine bands or clans or tribes of the Wampanoag Nation. And I'm from the Seekonk tribe, or Sukikonket, which is the Black Goose tribe, which is around Seekonk, Rehoboth area. And
I was just in Rehoboth.
Yeah, man.
I love it. And you got Chincoteague Island and Assateague.
Yeah.
All that stuff over there.
There's a lot of history in New England, especially, like I said, from the Northeast woodland tribes, and we're from the first contact people, meaning we made first contact with the settlers or the colonizers, however you want to identify it. So anytime you see
happy
any
Thanksgiving out there, everybody.
Yeah, whatever.
By
happy
the way,
National Day of Mourning.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Gobblies.
Go on, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. So, you know, if you look up the King Philip's War, which King Philip was the son of Massasoit Osamiko, and Massasoit meaning great leader, he was a great leader of the Wampanoag Nation between the 15 and 1600s. And he had a war chief or a right-hand man named Anawan. That's where I come from. That's where my line comes from. So I'm the direct lineage of his war chief. Hence the reason why I have such a warrior spirit.
There you go. And you do have that warrior spirit.
I do.
I love that.
Yeah.
But you're also super nice.
I'm chill, man.
Yeah, you're
like,
very chill.
I don't like confrontation. I like to fight. I like the art of boxing, the sweet science. But I don't like confrontation, man. I'm just chill. Like, let's have a laugh. I like to laugh. Yeah. I love to laugh.
You're a lot of fun to be around, always. Cool. You know, it's funny. Just for a second, go back to you talked about Shelly picking you up in a BMW with her music bumping. And you said you're really into music. Shelly was always wearing, like, that hardcore stuff, like the Misfits and all that. Is she into hardcore music, or what kind of music?
And
what kind of music are you into?
I listen to absolutely everything. Misfits, because we call each other Misfits, we have matching tattoos from Misfits.
Oh, there you go.
Because it says Misfits on the stuff, she doesn't know any. She couldn't tell you if Misfits were playing. Like, I don't think she's into hardcore. She likes rap. You know, old school rap.
She likes hip-hop and stuff.
Old school, like, she's, you know what's funny? She gets in her feelings and she runs to, like, old school R&B. Like, she likes the R&B stuff and rap. I listen to absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Like, down to country, bro. I mean.
If it's good.
I love live music. I listen to everything.
I love that. So, you're spending a lot of time now in Philadelphia, yeah?
I live there now.
And so, what's that like for you? It's still an East Coast city, obviously.
Yeah.
And obviously, I know Providence. I know Philly. But for you, what's the difference? How does it feel living now? Does it feel like home now?
It does. It's felt like home since I started going out there. And I've always joked with Brian saying, you know, my boxing soul was born here. And because I always liked the Philly style boxer and, the warrior, the fighter. The dog. Because I always felt like that was me. Like, you know, when I started training out there, now I now adopted one of my favorite fighters is Meldrick Taylor. Like, I love him.
Oh, my gosh.
You know
gosh.
What I'm saying? Like,
wow.
I just always liked the Philly style of boxing. So it felt like home, and especially from the gym I'm from and my family back home in Providence, Big Six Boxing Academy, Roland Estrada. Like, just the mentality of a just a dog fighter and that Philly style, and mixing it with, I'm just home, man. I love those. That's why when I went up to Detroit with Alicia and that gym, I'm
you
like,
fit, you fit
dude,
right
this
in.
Is home. This is not scary. I love it here, man. Yeah. It's dope.
It was cool that Tony and, well, obviously LJ was out there because he's training her, but Tony even came out too for that fight. They were really excited, you know.
Yeah, they when you see greatness in a fighter, man, she's special. You know what I mean? So, and then she got the whole package. She talks a hell of a lot of junk. She can back it up. So I'm excited to see what she can do in this division.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be really interesting to see, I'll tell you. So you're doing more than boxing, though. There is a movie that just came out, Catch the Fair One. And you actually asked me to be the announcer in it, the ring announcer, which I was very happy to do. So I am also in the film. But I haven't seen it yet, to be honest.
I asked them to send you a link, so you'll see it.
Well, I talked to the producer. They were like, oh, we're going to send you a link, and they never did it. But it's okay. I'll see it when you'll it comes out. But it's doing really well.
Very well.
And I'm super proud of you. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure you did great.
I can't wait for you, everybody.
And you didn't you also co-write it?
I did. I helped co-write it with the director, now a really good friend of mine, Joseph Vladica, Kubota Vladica. And I had a heavy hand in the direction of which it went and what themes we were trying to tell, what story we were trying to tell. And I had a lot of creative influence in it to tell us to the story right. So it was a great experience to start from the bare bones idea all the way to shooting, and then all the way to see it actually executed exactly how we thought. And then even through the pandemic, because we were supposed to have it done in 2020, obviously, you know, we ended right in mid of December 2019. It was December 15th was the last day of shooting, and going into 2020, a lot of stuff got shut down. So we were actually one of the lucky ones. And post-production, usually there's a rush. Like, we're rushing it out, film festivals are going to start. But we had a whole nother year to really dissect it. So I think that was a blessing. And that was a hell of a blessing, because we had so much time to try other things and really be slow with it. Mm. And I had a hand in that, too. I saw the you know, the really rough cuts. I even actually showed Brian a rough cut, because I wanted to see his reaction just from a regular person.
Brian, what'd you think? He's over there filming us.
What?
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
With the rough cuts, though.
Oh, man. You see her every day, you talk to her every day, and you just didn't know she had that such a creative mind to go where she went in the movie. It was amazing.
Wow. I can't wait to see it, Kaylee.
Yeah.
I really can't wait to see it. And tell me more about, because there's a lot of stuff going on with, like, missing indigenous peoples and violence against indigenous peoples and stuff like that. And that's a cause that you're behind, and you're doing a lot of stuff with your people. Tell me about that.
So, I mean, you know, just with the platform I've built with boxing and the you know, the attention, the energy, and the respect, and the following that I've gained with the platform, this is a gift I got given to me by the Creator. We're taught as Indigenous people, if you have a gift, there's no sense of keeping it to yourself. You give back. So, you know, I can remember back in 2015, a friend of mine, I actually call my warrior sister, she's from the Shinnecock tribe, she was helping me with PR. You know, I was going into fighting Christina Mahama for the first time. She was trying to help me with marketing. We were trying to find my brand. This is really important for fighters, to find your brand. You know, what do you fight? Whether it's whatever you fight for, it's really important. You know, we're in the entertainment business. So she's like, well, why do you fight? Like, you know, I fight for, you know, Indigenous, you know why I fight. But she's like, she's like trying to get it out of me. What do you fight for? Like, I'm like, well, I fight for all my people, like all nations. I fight for all nations. And she's just like, and so we started dissecting it. And that's kind of how I came up with the fight for all nations. The number four meaning four directions. It's just, you know, we have a meaning with everything.
Four corners of the world.
Exactly. Four corners of the ring. The fight starts now, bro.
The fight starts now. So the four nations.
And from there, just finding the purpose. And I was trying to explain to her and people, like, all right, it's cool I started boxing because I needed an outlet from a young age. Now that I've gotten that, why do I fight? Like, I knew it was something more, and I just started, you know, the feeling I felt being so proud to be an Indigenous and mixed Indigenous, and also the journey it took me to get where I'm at now, being okay with who I am. You know, as a kid, being biracial, being Native American, being Cape Verdean, being two-spirited, it was just so confusing. My mom was Native, but she was also a Christian, which means two-spirited is okay with some Native and Indigenous people, but it's like she actually called me a abomination to my face. So it was just a lot of confusion. So to be so proud of being Cape Verdean and being Native and being okay with who I am and being really proud just kind of started this journey on really honing in on that energy from my ancestors. And I'm not a politician, but I'm a fighter. So I physically fight, and energy is real. So I knew the energy that I felt and the prayers putting up to my people and why I fight. It just kind of just snowballed into what I do now. And to bring awareness to these so many issues that are not new issues. They're just the modern day genocide against indigenous peoples everywhere, just in different forms, whether it's pipelines, missing and murdered indigenous women, residential school system kind of transferred over into the foster care system. There's so many things that you can look at. And all these things should be on mainstream media, and they're not. But I am, and I'm indigenous. So I can, you know, I can go to a weigh-in and put MMIW on my arm so people can ask questions. And now we can bring awareness. Now people start picking up their phones. Well, I've never heard of missing and murdered indigenous women. This still happens. Yes, absolutely. Every day I get alerts on my phone with countless amounts of women, men, little boys, little girls, older women, young as 3 years old. And it happens every day now. It's just indigenous people, especially women, we have been so sexualized and so targeted since the dawn of colonialism, since the first settlers set their little baby toe on Turtle Island. And we just looked at as, you know, very submissive and sexualized for whatever reason. And it's just transferred into modern day society. And now the sex trafficking market is such a huge market. And you can cross into when you do have these pipelines that are being drilled in these lands, you have these man camps, and you have these man camps that are there for months or sometimes years at a time. And these sex trafficking people, that it's a demand for it. Now, if you go into an area that has reservations, these exotic native girls, you have, on one hand, you have these girls getting coaxed in and kind of targeted and kind of don't know what they're getting into. Then you might have these group of women that just want to get off the res, and they see an opportunity to do something else. So it goes way, way deep. And if I can bring awareness, I believe more awareness can just motivate and drive change. You know, if there's somebody that has an idea that hears about this, maybe they have a connect to put more cameras in a place that has a lot of victims. Maybe that will stop people from doing that. You know what I mean? There's just so much. If all I have to do is talk about it like this, and people start trying to see how they can help, that's all I want to do.
It is extremely deep, and I hope that more people do hear about this, and I love it. And I think it's so important to fight for a cause, no matter what you're doing, whether you're actually physically fighting or you're in any type of fight in your life. You need to have a cause.
And yeah, absolutely.
And I do believe that. Also, just speaking of real quick, the Cape Verdean half. So you're obviously from Providence.
Yes.
And for the people out there that don't know, Providence, Rhode Island has a huge Cape Verdean population. And also on this card, we have a gentleman who's topping the bill who's also Cape Verdean, Demetrius Andrade.
Yes.
Are you close to Demetrius?
We're probably related in some form because, you know, Cape Verdeans are all related. But yes, I'm very close with Boo Boo. We've okay. As kids, we've known each other as kids, even when he started boxing. As a young age, and I started getting into it, and sure. I knew, and then...
And you know his pops, obviously.
Yeah, of course, I know. Yeah, his dad was there with me amazing. In Germany when I fought Christina Hamm the first time, causing right. trouble. So, yeah, we've been really close. We actually still have the same strength and conditioning coach, Tariq Mendez.
Okay.
And so when I'm in Philly, he'll FaceTime me, and when I'm in Providence, I'll go up to his gym. So, yeah, I've known Boo Boo forever.
The South Prof Southpaw.
Yeah, man. I love that awkward style, man. It's just so crazy. We've sparred a number of times throughout the years. I just like, you're so awkward. It comes from nowhere.
He's
like,
really awkward. Yeah. Quigley's got his hands full this weekend because I'll tell you, Demetrius is, he's a tough customer.
It's just natural. You can't teach that.
He's hard to figure out. Mm-hmm. And he's got a huge amateur background.
Yep. He's hard to figure out as a person, so he's goofy. Sometimes. He's a big goof.
Yeah, he is, man. I like Boo Boo a lot. That's really funny. I'm looking forward to that fight this weekend. I'm looking forward to your fight. What happens this weekend, you and Jess?
Friday, I handle business, and I move on to the finals. I mean, like I said, I'm not looking past Jess. I'm not underestimating her, but I'm just so confident. I've had one of the best, I can't even say one of the best, the best camp that I've ever had. I mean, I'm walking around here. I've been at weight for the last 3 weeks. I was at weight when Mary and Chantel fought. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what's up with that? Like, you had the WBC at 160, and now here you are.
When you're where you're supposed to be, things just happen how they're supposed to happen, man.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
It's crazy.
You feel better at this weight?
I do. At first, I didn't. When I fought for the WBA, and we, you know, Brian had that awesome idea to go to 140. he's looking at the scale now. I'm like, listen, 140 is it. I'm cutting. He's like, I'm like, no. But you know, he's smart guy, and there was an opportunity. I trust everything that every decision he makes, and we saw an opportunity. And the first time I made it, I made the weight, but I just made the weight. Right. You know, coming from 160, then down to 147. 160, I was just walking around at 160, and I was getting the calls at 160. Again, with no management, no promoter, I was getting the calls, and I was like, "What? How much? What title? Where? When? Yeah, cool, great, I'll be there.
Right.
And I can hang with the girls at 160. I'm a shorter, smaller middleweight, but, you know, ask Christina Hamm, I ask Michaela Loren, ask a lot of them, you know what I mean?
Right.
54 and 50, I felt a lot better. 47, I was like, yo, I love this right here. I feel faster, I feel strong.
Okay.
First time, I made the weight, and I was like, I don't know, man. As a matter of fact, this fight, I can laugh about it now, but at the end of the fight, the first fight, I got clipped a little bit, and I was like, don't like 140, need to go back up to 147. The second time I made it in August, I felt a little better. It was a little easier. Not that it was hard, but I still kind of just lost the weight, meaning I rehydrated kind of like in the 50s a little bit.
Okay.
Now we've done it so right, and my body adjusted surprisingly so well that I'm like, yo, I should have been fighting here. This is probably my entire career, yo.
That's great. So you actually finally feel very comfortable at the weight.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, usually I'm sitting, I probably wouldn't be sitting here before weigh-in with, like, and be fine. I mean, you know what I mean? This is
that's right. We got to be on the scale tomorrow. And we're supposed to go to dinner tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you coming with us to dinner?
Yeah, dude. I got, like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, so let's get off here and let's go have dinner. But before we do that, are you cool to answer a couple fan questions?
Absolutely.
All right, let's see what we got. We got some fan questions here. Let me see. Let me find them. Scott sent these from the fans. And by the way, we've got Lewis as the producer today. Thanks for stepping in, Lewis. Okay, fan questions. Jerry Anderson asked Kaylee, we've seen you in the UK a couple of times with Ebony Bridges. What's the connection between you? Oh, you said, but go ahead.
That is my adopted boxing daughter. Nah, Ebony is, I love her to death, man. That is another one of Brian Cohen's fighters, and actually he trains her, and I help him train her.
What a fight with Shannon Courtney.
Yes.
OMG.
Yep.
Wow.
And then her stablemate.
Wow.
Beat Shannon Courtney. That Jamie Mitchell is also another stablemate.
That was a.
Just beating all the UK fighters.
That was, I was really, really proud of Jamie for that.
Me too. I was so happy
for
her.
It was really great. Yep. And I'm a fan of Shannon Courtney also. So, but I'm a fan of all fighters. But Jamie Mitchell, that was great. She just had a tough go of it. And to see her win that title.
Yeah. She was elated. Hell of a story, man. I was
hell
so,
of a story.
Again, when she got that call for that fight, I'm like, oh, Jamie going to step up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she did, man. She deserves it.
She did.
So really
she
proud
did.
Of her, too. So
it was a great performance.
Eddie's not going to call Brian for no more fights.
I'm saying, yo, Brian, the tap is about to get shut off.
Hey.
Okay, let's see here. All right, @HuntTheHunted19_ asks Kaylee, win an Oscar or win the Undisputed Crown? Which do you pick?
Both. I don't have to pick.
Well, that's the question, though. You got to choose.
I don't have to choose.
Well, for the question.
I make the rules here.
For the hypothetical.
Listen, David, I make the rules here. Hypothetical, right now, Undisputed title.
Okay,
right now,
cool.
Undisputed.
Done. All right. But, yeah, both.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. Jerome Robert asks Kaylee, am I right by thinking you've had a whole host of jobs? A bouncer, which we just heard about. Motorbike technician, which we heard about. What else?
Let's see. As this show is like exclusive, I can talk about anything, right? So my funniest job was, I actually was in college for criminal justice and science, and I had a job at an amazing warehouse. Amazing, if you guys don't know, is like a sex store. So I worked at like...
Well then.
Well, I'm just... It wasn't like the store itself.
Well then.
It was the warehouse. So we got the orders. It was funny. I worked with... it was Jason Estrada's two brothers and his cousin. So we were the only
ones... Jason Estrada, the boxer?
Yes.
Oh,
so
my
both
God.
Of his
I
brothers...
I haven't thought about Jason for a long time.
And his cousins. And then we had a... after we got out of the class, we'd go... And we'd get these orders for whatever. So we had like a toy section, a video section, and a magazine section.
Okay.
And we'd get like how many of whatever we used to pick. And we just used to have these carts and put them in the cart, and then they'd box them. And yeah, I've had a job since I was 14 years old, from ice cream stand to sex store to anything. I've always had two or three jobs at a time too.
Got to grind.
Yeah, I do, man.
That's what it is. That's what it is. You're still
bills.
At it.
Yep.
Listen, Kaylee, so excited to see you. I'm so happy to finally have you on the podcast. And I cannot wait to see the fight with you and Kamara this weekend. Wish you the very best of luck. And to all the fans out there, we'll be back tomorrow. Jason Quigley, Matchroom Radio with David Diamante, checking out. Till tomorrow.
Thanks so much, man. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.